Magic the Amateuring is broadcasting this week from a cave.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ben There's a 30% chance this podcast will end with a bear eating us.
There's a 20% chance that this podcast will end when a bat gets stuck in each of our hairs.
Don't worry, as long as we triple block the bear, only two of us will die.
And there's a 5% chance that we each get married to a spelunker.
I really hope it's that one.
Speak to yourself. Helmet lamps are a big turnoff for me.
You said speak to yourself.
Everybody, despite what you might have just heard for the past 30 seconds, Magic the Amateuring is a podcast about Magic the Gathering and not about cave dwelling.
And we're glad to have you. We're not worried that you'll turn into a spelunker and date us.
We're not worried that you'll turn into a bear and we'll have to triple block you.
But we are worried if you're cool. Are you? If you are, stop listening.
Because, uh-oh.
This is a podcast for dorks who love magic more than they love their own skin organs.
Oh, my skin is one of my top organs, but I'm not sure that it's my favorite.
Ben, what's your favorite organ?
My favorite organ is my left lung.
Megan?
Oh, man. I like all of them.
You have to pick one.
Oh.
Can I change my answer to my brain?
Yes. Ben.
Oh, thanks.
Maria?
Mine's the old piano at church.
Nice move.
Everybody, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering. Megan and I are amateur players. We've been playing the game for just about a year. Ben is our teacher and has been teaching us.
I'm a certified expert. I got my certificate at Dunwoody, which is a community college in Minneapolis, which is where we are.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And we are hoping to import some items from Japan. Yeah. Impart some knowledge on Magic the Gathering to you, the listener.
I was thinking the
other
day.
Turns out there is a bear in this cave.
Yeah. There's, but you guys, I was just thinking, if we have to triple block the bear, what are we?
Yeah, good point.
Do you have a philosophy degree?
No.
Then you're a 1-1.
But even if we were each 1-1s.
Yeah.
And we, why don't we just double block the bear?
We don't want to get tricked.
That does make more sense. You guys double block the bear.
No,
Ben. No. We're going to do this by rock, paper, scissors, way that you do going into every combat.
Why not just let the opponent choose?
Because why am I going to let my opponent choose?
That's painful. Can you live with that?
I'm going to let my opponent pick my blockers?
How about we go with whoever has been playing Magic the longest?
Oh, so you.
Wait a second.
So you're going to block the bear.
Is there a card that lets your opponent pick your blockers?
Yeah. Let's not talk about it.
Is there really?
There are some cards like that. There's a creature that I've gotten in Momir Basic before. I can't remember his name. But he lets you choose, like, everything about blocking.
What? Right. All the time?
Yeah, you get to choose how your opponent blocks.
What? You just lose, right? You lose to that card?
I mean, it is possible to beat it, but yeah, you pretty much lose.
From Return to Ravnica block, the Minotaur?
What? No. Which card is that?
It's not the Battle Shaper.
Oh, Boros Battle Shaper. Yeah. That's intense. That allows you to pick one. Each combat, you get to pick one creature that must attack, and you get to pick one creature that must block.
Right.
Yeah, I don't remember what card this is, but it's like, You can choose to have your opponent block none of your creatures, or you can choose to have your opponent chump block creatures, like however works best for you.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's really weird, guys.
It's pretty redonk. When I've gotten it, I have managed to win with that card.
Good job. I imagine you have.
We've got a great show coming up for you guys today. We're going to talk about draft. We're going to talk about planeswalkers. We have a new segment called Speculate a card.
Speculate a card?
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a new segment called Terminology Time.
Terminology Time.
I just named that segment. You're welcome.
Thank you. Mm. Oh, wait. I'm going to do a quick create a card.
Yeah.
It's called Block a Bear.
Okay.
And it's an enchantment. It costs one and a green.
Can I go to the mall and find this card in yes. every mall?
Yeah, you find this card mall. In every mall.
Okay.
Block a bear. No, it costs two and a green, and it allows you to choose how your opponent blocks any bear you control. It is really good with bear at all. But bear at all would turn this enchantment into a bear, so you need to play it after you've bared it all.
Bear it all is a card we invented a few shows back. Go and find it. It's probably our most epic card.
It really is.
I think Build-A-Bear Workshop would be a good magic card.
And also a copyright infringement. For the noobs, planeswalkers.
Welcome, noobs, and listen to our tale.
A tale of planes. Planes that have been walked. And the walkers who have walked those planes.
Tales of good and evil. And not good or evil, but just, you know, the middle.
And sometimes a tale of Walker Texas Ranger.
Hey guys, my name's Kyle. What is a planeswalker? Oh, I'm a noob. Did I mention that?
Kyle, how did you get into our cave?
Oh, well, my mom dropped me off because I told her this was a magic store.
Oh, so you're a liar.
Yeah.
Kyle, it's okay to be addicted to magic, but it's not okay to lie to your mom.
Ah, fuck.
What have we learned here today, Kyle?
Don't lie to mom.
That's right.
And also, I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing you shouldn't drop the F-bomb.
Kyle, what do you think your mom would do if she found out that you lied to her?
I don't know. She'd probably make me move out. I am 27.
Would she cut you with a shiv like this?
Oh, God. No, fuck.
Well, that's the second Goodbye, episode. Kyle. We have killed a noob. Yep. My apologies.
We're really very aggressive to any noobs who wander by, considering that our show is for them.
Yes. Strange. So,
I still don't understand what the number in the lower right corner means.
Damn it, Kyle! That's your planeswalker's loyalty!
What is loyalty?
The loyalty is how loyal your planeswalker is to you. A planeswalker isn't like a creature that you summon and then control. A planeswalker is an ally, and if they're not loyal to you, they could just leave your ass.
So you don't control your planeswalker?
Well, it's a complicated relationship.
Ben, why don't you tell us what the heck a planeswalker is?
Planeswalkers are powerful allies you can call on to fight by your side. But how do they work?
That's what we asked you.
Yeah.
That's what we asked.
Well, planeswalker is a spell, just like any other spell when he's in your hand. You're just looking at him and he's in your hand.
It is spell planeswalker.
It is not a creature.
It is not a creature.
It's a permanent, so you can only cast it during your main phase. Whew. First or second.
Ooh, snap.
Whatever your fancy is. Mm-hmm. When the planeswalker comes into play, it gets loyalty counters equal to the loyalty in the bottom right-hand box. It's a little box.
It has a number in it. That's its loyalty.
It's where a power or toughness would be on a creature, and it looks like it's a little like shield.
Yeah.
Because shields are loyal.
Yeah, they are. They're loyal to whoever's arm they're on.
I had a shield that cheated on me once.
What? Maria, how?
Just fucking around with another sword.
Or it kind of looks like...
What a jerk.
Like a box, maybe, that someone took a bite out of the top of.
I can see that. Yeah, I see where you're getting at.
That's really the most important part about planeswalkers.
Or yeah. Maybe it's like an arrow and they snapped off the shaft of the
arrow.
Okay,
Ben, we're done. We're done with this.
Okay. Planeswalkers are also unusual because they have abilities.
They do.
And these abilities, you can only use one of their abilities per turn. So it's kind of like the abilities have the tap symbol on them.
Yeah, as if you had to tap your planeswalker to do that.
But you don't tap your planeswalker.
No.
Are there any planeswalkers you ever tap?
No.
That would be weird.
Well, no. There's some that like will turn into a creature. And then you can tap them.
That's true.
Yeah. But that's fucking not for noobs. That's for advanced noobs.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just talk about planeswalkers.
All right.
You can only use it during a main phase.
Yes, and only once per turn. Once per your turn, you can choose one of the abilities on the planeswalker. Usually they have three, And
sometimes they have four looking at you, Jace the Mind Sculptor.
And the ability has a loyalty cost, which is in a little arrow icon. And that is the amount of loyalty that you're either going to add or subtract from the current amount of loyalty.
So can I think about it like a power and toughness? I guess like a toughness, like I'm removing three toughness from it.
I would prefer that you didn't.
Okay, but that's Maria, what it feels like.
It's a loyalty counter.
It's not like toughness because at the end of your turn, it's not going to go back to that number.
Yeah, and it's okay. Not like when they get to zero toughness, they're going to die. They're just going to become disloyal and leave your ass.
It's more like... you start with that much, you've got like that much power over him, and you can either let him do what he wants, and then he gives you more power over him, or you can do what you want, and then the power goes down. It's like dating.
A lot like dating. Exactly.
It's so weird.
It's like an emotionally manipulative relationship.
Yeah, that's not how I date.
Where you're like, oh, will you become more loyal to me if we go do something that you want to do?
I guess I'll add two loyalties.
My relationships are more like combos. Everyone's loyalty goes up.
Do you mean like pretzel and cheddar cheese combos?
Sure.
Yum.
Yum.
Yeah, so when you use the ability, you get to do whatever it says on the ability, and then you also get to change the loyalty of the creature.
I'm just saying loyalty, thinking about it like toughness, because I remember when I first played with a planeswalker, thinking of it that way, because when the loyalty got to zero, that meant he went away.
Yes, you can only use an ability if the planeswalker has that many loyalty counters on it. So you cannot go into debt on your planeswalker.
Okay. No. Although, they don't accept debt.
That would be a sweet card.
That'd be kind of cool. Oh, snap. It would be like a payday loans planeswalker.
And like if you died, what if you won the game while you were in debt to a planeswalker, instead you lose the game?
I love it.
Oh, snap.
I love it.
All right. We'll create that card later.
Wizards, are you listening?
And then the other way to interact with the planeswalker is if your opponent has a planeswalker, you can attack the planeswalker. And if they don't block it, then instead of doing damage to a player, they will remove that much loyalty from the planeswalker.
This is a confusing concept for a new player, FYI.
Yeah.
Yes. So when you're attacking, if your opponent controls a planeswalker, at the beginning of your attack, when you attack with those creatures, you need to tell them which creatures are going where. And you can't divide up a creature's power between like a planeswalker and an opponent. Mm-mm. If I have a Loxodon Smiter, but your planeswalker only has three, I still have to be like, the Smiter is attacking the planeswalker.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You can, if you have 40 bears, you can send 38 of them at the planeswalker and then two to the player.
Yes, you don't have to send all of your creatures one way or another. You can also redirect burn spells or other damage.
Any damage from a source you control that would be dealt to your opponent can instead be dealt to a planeswalker that opponent controls.
So it's like slapping their best friend in the face and also hurting the other friend.
Sure.
Emotionally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So it's like if I had like a lobber crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's mean that I could tap each turn to deal you one damage. I could tap it to deal the planeswalker damage instead.
Mm-hmm. And technically,
go ahead.
Technically, when you do that, you don't target the planeswalker. You target your opponent, and then you just choose to redirect it to the planeswalker.
That's wild.
Yep, it's like, I'm like, Maria, I'm going to punch you, but I see your friend standing right there next to you, so I'm going to redirect my punch at your friend.
Okay, so as we mentioned before, if the planeswalker's loyalty goes to zero, the planeswalker is gone. He's like, look, I've had enough of this.
Does he go to the graveyard?
He goes to your graveyard.
That's weird. That's like he's dead.
It's like he's dead. Yep.
It's like a friend who's you've offended, and now you're dead to them.
And if the planeswalker has, say, two loyalty and it's a minus two ability, you can use that ability, but the planeswalker will go to your graveyard as a result. But, you know, sometimes, what else are you going to do?
Sometimes.
The pipes are calling.
And then the last thing you need to know about planeswalkers is that they have a uniqueness rule. So each planeswalker has a type, and each player can only control one planeswalker of any given type. So if you have a planeswalker Jace, and you play another card that has planeswalker Jace in the type line, you have to pick one to keep.
Yep.
Even if one is Architect of Thought and the other one is Memory Adept.
Yeah.
You still only get one planeswalker Jace. They don't like seeing each other.
Yeah. They're brothers. There's some bad blood.
They are real pissed at each other.
They're the same guy.
Oh, well, if you saw another version of yourself from the future, you would not want to be in the same room.
Jace actually has a multiple personality disorder, and it really weirds him out.
This brings up a great question, you guys.
Sure.
Would you rather, so Megan and Maria, I'll give this question to you. Would you rather make out with yourself or each other? I'll give you 5 seconds to consider.
Would I rather make out with other me, or would I rather make out with Maria?
That's the question.
Okay, we get to ask you this question also for you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ben, would you rather make out with yourself or...
Or Maria?
No, who's a very manly man? Who's a very manly man we know?
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Or Walker, Texas Ranger.
I want to hear your answer first.
Maria.
Oh, I was going to pick myself. Now I feel like a dick.
Yeah, that's a jerk move.
I would pick myself over any male.
I think it would be more creepy to make out with myself than to make out with Maria.
That is creepier.
That is super creepy.
It's more creepy, but it's less gay. Right?
I'm
sorry.
And
you know what, Ben? I think my priorities are ordered. I would rather be more gay and less creepy.
That's fair.
And everyone knows me, always more creepy.
But I'm already touching my own lips, like, all the time.
That is a good point.
But you're not kissing yourself. That's different.
Isn't he, though?
What do you think I'm doing with my tongue in there when you're not watching, guys?
Oh, I don't want to know now. I don't want to know.
Oh. So anyway, that's all you need to know about planeswalkers and auto makeouts.
I just want to add...
Okay, wait. I have a question.
Yeah, tell us what else you did yourself.
Go slow, please.
No, I want to know, would you rather make out with yourself or with, like, a robot who is very robot, like, cold? I'm talking, like, cold metal lips. I'm talking, like, cold metal lips, and you would have to French the robot, and it has a cold metal tongue.
Well, okay, look. Tell me about the robot boobs. Are they good?
I'm not, they're... But they're metal.
Are they cold metal boobs?
They're cold metal boobs.
No. I want a quality rack in my makeup partner if we're going down that road, you know what I mean?
Ben, same question.
Probably the robot.
Of course.
I would want to see a picture.
Of yourself making out with the robot. Frame that shit.
Okay, Maria, I believe you're going to say something relevant to the conversation.
Sure. It's important to remember when you play a planeswalker, because your opponent can either attack you or your planeswalker, that your planeswalker needs some protection, right?
Yep.
Am I right, gentlemen? Carry it in your wallet. Keep some protection for your planeswalker, so put down that yoke dox.
Yeah. Or good planeswalkers often have protection built in, like Jace, Memory Adept, his +1 ability gives creatures -1/-0 when they attack him. Elspeth makes soldiers.
Just remember, it's
for
important.
Me, it really feels better if I can ultimate my planeswalker without just hoping my opponent doesn't attack it. You know?
Jesus.
Am I the only one? If you agree with me, tweet at MTAcast. Let me know.
Parents, I'm glad if any of our listeners are young, first of all, go to bed. Second of all.
Go to bed. I don't care what time it is.
Second of all, don't take Ben's advice about that. Your planeswalker always needs protection.
Look, Megan
Look,
and I
will
that's
why the planeswalker is there.
Whatever, Ben.
Whatever. So, Maria and I drafted this week.
We sure did.
How did it go, you G's?
You know what? First of all, I had the weirdest start ever because I went at first 0-0-2.
That is bizarre.
Friends, I tied my first two matches.
Just because it was slow decks?
Yes, it was slow. I was playing a very slow deck, so both times they beat me game one, and then I had a very slow deck, and then I eventually beat them game two, and then we drew game three.
Yeah, I feel ya.
It happens.
Hey, if you guys want to see Megan and I playing some draft decks against each other, you can head to themutery.org and check out our match.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I did know.
Oh, okay.
But on behalf of the listener, I didn't know that.
Anyways.
You can also find it at magicthamateuring.com.
Mm-hmm. FYI. So, what I found was that I ended up going 0-1-2. I got beat by a real aggressive deck with a lot of bounce.
Oh, yeah.
Which was just bad. So, the problem was I had a mana curve that was just too high. Mm. Which in Theros, I feel like you can get away with a little bit more. But I've been kind of letting myself go crazy with that mana curve, man. And you just can't do that.
It's a trap.
No, you gotta.
It really is.
No, you gotta,
I was like, do you know what? This many 4 and 5 drops isn't a problem. It's a problem. It is a problem. And I can admit that to myself now.
Good. I'm glad.
I can just eat cholesterol. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
As long as it's a good kind of cholesterol, right?
Right. And I don't know the difference, so I have to assume it's good.
So, Maria.
Yes.
What about you?
I had a similarly strange record, which was 1-1-1.
Oh.
And, and I actually missed an onboard win. Yeah.
Bummer.
To tie my match. So, I tied when I should not have. I should have won. And it was because I was playing too conservatively, which has happened to me before, ladies and gentlemen.
Maria,
I don't believe it.
Playing conservatively? Tell us about it.
Okay, so I'm trying to have a level up moment. Everybody out there in Noobland, a level up moment is when you reach the next level of your magic game. Like, you feel like you're better than you were a level lower.
You busted that cocoon.
Yes. And right now, my cocoon is playing control decks or playing decks that are meant to be slow. Or that are not meant to win through just like damage early on, which is my favorite kind of deck to play naturally. So I'm trying to like force myself to play these other kinds of decks and play them smart, which is hard for me because oftentimes a lot of math is involved because the board gets clogged up with creatures.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
And so that's difficult for me. So
and you have to know the quadratic equation.
Yeah. And how to find the circumference of a hydra. Fuck.
Yeah, and those hydras, they're real hard to find the circumference of.
Yes.
As soon as you start taking the circumference, all of a sudden they've got more hydra heads.
Yep.
And so I think in this case I was just maybe playing, I was too far back on my feet to realize that I had an onboard win. And I was pointed out to me after the game, so I was like,
Oh,
feels like you got kicked in the boob, you know what I mean?
Yep.
No.
Okay. But overall, I feel like it's good to play decks that you're not familiar with and that you might not feel as good about. And it was a tricky kind of deck, which used a lot of Frieka's Menders to get back Grey Merchants, which I put in my graveyard on purpose. Ooh. And then just keep draining them.
Yeah, that's a party time, man.
So it was pretty fun, and it worked out okay if I hadn't totally, effed my own self in the A. But be flexible out there when you're drafting. Don't always draft the same kind of deck, you know?
Exactly.
Unless you want to.
Also,
don't take my word for it.
Remember, you guys, that Lash of the Whip is only mediocre.
Why do you say that?
Because it costs 5 and it's -4/-4. And in Theros, once you get to 5 mana, a lot of the time, that's just not going to be enough.
It's true. Would you say the same thing about Rage of Purphoros?
I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would I, sadly.
If you don't have anything else, take it. Like red, it's like, okay, I'm going to hopefully get lightning strikes. But you know what? Sometimes I need a Rage of Purphoros. Black, it's like, just take the Sip of Hemlock, man.
Yeah, a Sip of Hemlock is a card that Maria is like, gross. 6 mana.
It is gross.
Sorcery speed.
It is gross.
But guess what? You have to take
Sometimes you need it. Sometimes you need that
Because
bitch.
When you're sitting there in your hand and Maria wants to take a Baleful Eidolon, what I actually should take is the Sip of Hemlock.
Sometimes you just got to kiss the robot.
Okay, wait. Baleful what? Eidolon is pretty good.
I know, but that's a choice I have a lot. Baleful or Sip of Hemlock?
What okay, do you do? In that case, I take Baleful.
Ben.
Sip of Hemlock.
Yeah. Because in the end, you okay. when it's but in your
I've
hand,
been responsible and kept my curve under control, so I can take a sip okay. of Hemlock.
Okay, that's fair. I haven't been responsible and not kept my curve under control.
Oh, God. I have a thought about red decks, by the way.
Go okay, for it.
Okay, tell us your thought, then we'll have the thought, too.
Okay. So a lot of people have been hating on red in Theros, saying it's the weakest color.
Yeah, I saw that weak. There was that whole group of protesters
yeah, outside of Wizards. Red, dead, red is dead, red is dead.
Dead, yeah. Red is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want a burn spell, and we want it now.
Wait, what do we want?
Decent red cards. Not like overly powerful, but at least as good as the other colors.
When do we want them?
Preferably the next set that gets released, but we understand that the sets are planned in advance, so as soon as possible.
Okay, this is what I'm looking for. Uh-huh. What do you want? Burn spells. When do you want them? Two drops.
What did we make with Jet?
Lightning okay, strike. And lightning strike. I want more.
Hey, I'm with you. Okay. I had a deck with 4 lightning strikes, everybody.
Maria, that's a lot of lightning strikes.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. But what I notice about red decks is they can be fine, but you need tricks. Mm-hmm. Mm. You need those Titan strengths and coordinated assaults, because there's no way otherwise you're beating that big green beefy dude who's sitting across from you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So a red deck without tricks is just a sad pony.
It's not even a deck.
No.
It's a sad pony.
Have you ever seen like, anything sadder?
No. It's like trying to eat a hammock. You're going to need, if you're going to eat a hammock, you need a trick.
You really do. Oh, hammocks are not for eating.
That is the weirdest thing you've ever said. Recently, some art was released by Wizards. What is
Born of the Gods?
For Born of the Gods.
What's Born of the Gods?
It's the next upcoming Magic set.
Oh.
But I was talking about like a philosophical discussion. What does it mean to be Born of the Gods? It
probably means to be like somebody like Jesus or...
Yeah. So you're not immortal.
Or my dad.
Yeah, was your dad a god? Oh. Born of the Gods?
I mean, he's like really healthy.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done for him. Good. So wait. I'm going to re-ask that question about drafting. When we draft Born of the Gods, Born of the Gods is going to have like 100 and something questions?
Cards, do you mean?
Questions.
When you say questions?
It'll have cards. about 200 cards. It'll have an unlimited number of questions.
That's fair.
Less
so wait,
cards than Theros.
Are we going to draft it? How will we draft it? Will it go Gods, Theros, Theros? Theros, Theros, Gods? Gods, Theros, Gods? Theros, Gods, Theros?
Well, it'll be... I'm going to call it BOG, because it's Born of the Gods. That's like
okay.
an acronym.
BOG.
Got it.
So mm-hmm. It'll be like BOG, Theros, Theros.
Oh, man.
BOG first.
Question. Yes. We did not do that with Gatecrash, right?
Well, that's, fuck no.
That's because Gatecrash was unique. The whole RTR block was unique in that... Return to Ravnica was meant to be drafted alone. Gatecrash was meant to be drafted alone. And then Dragon's Maze was when you brought all three together.
So you and I, Megan, have never drafted one and then two of another one.
Well, we did do that one time. That was Dark Ascension, Innistrad, Innistrad.
Oh, yeah. But we had no idea what we were doing.
We had no idea.
Yeah, are you guys scared? Are you hurt? Are you alone?
I'm a little scared.
That's kind of weird. That's kind of scary to me.
That's a little weird.
What are you scared of?
Everything.
Inconsistency.
I'm sure. Scared of dying alone.
I mean, you did Dragon's Maze, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is going to be much easier, much less complicated than Dragon's Maze.
Yeah, that was pretty complicated.
Thank God.
There'll be some cards, because especially since you know all the Theros cards, when you're looking at your Born of the Gods pack, you can think, oh, well, if I take this card, maybe later I'll get a Leaf Crown Dryad or a Hopeful Eidolon or all these cards I already know.
I think what always confused me about Dragon's Maze was that like I only got that one pack to get cards that I knew were good from that set. Like Gatecrash, I only got, you know, like that one, you know, pack two of of Gatecrash.
So with Born of the Gods, you'll get, it's kind of similar. You just get like this little sprinkling of Born of the Gods, and then you get two packs of Theros. Yeah.
And so when Journey into Nyx comes out, will it be Nyx will go Nyx, 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 right?
No.
No.
It'll but wasn't go Nyx, Bog, Theros.
Okay. But wasn't Avacyn, 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 Avacyn?
Yes, but Avacyn was a standalone set.
Okay. So Journey into Nyx is not going to be a standalone set.
No. They're okay. They're not standalone sets. They're small sets that are meant to be drafted with Theros.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Getting back to this new art.
Yeah.
For Born of the Gods, it looks like Xenagos is popping right out of a mountain.
He yeah. really is.
He's, yeah, we like see him. He's like...
He's busting out, man.
Yeah.
So. I feel like there's some kind of like... So the one for Theros is Elspeth like having just like fought this Hydra.
Yeah.
And then I feel like...
Are we sure this is Xenagos?
Look at him. Yeah. He still is Xenagos.
Xenagos is kind of being set up like the evil guy in this situation, I think. I think he's this giant evil satyr busting out of a mountain.
Yes. But if you look at this guy... He has like an enchantment background. He looks like he's a god.
Oh.
Does he somehow get into Nyx?
What? Do you think Xenagos is trying to become a god?
Maybe.
Wow. Everybody, you can see this art on dailymtg.com if you go to an article by Trick Jarrett in their archives.
And then it looks like Journey into Nyx is the battle between Elspeth being like, no, you don't, Xenagos. And Xenagos is like, my horns grew and got real wicked crazy, man.
There's more horns on that guy than Xenagos.
I think he grew. Look, I think it's still him, but he just got more powerful, right?
I don't know.
You think he popped a new horn?
Yeah, I think he popped a new horn.
What if that guy is Mogus?
What? Who's Mogus?
Fanatic of Mogus? Mogus is Marauders?
Could be Mogus.
Right. What but if this is Mogus? Mogus?
Yeah.
Who's Mogus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What if Mogus is what you get when you combine Xenagos with a guy named Mortimer?
But Mogus...
What if Mogus is what you get in between your toes when you don't shower?
Gross. You guys, Mogus is a Minotaur.
Yeah.
Probably. Or Minotaurs are just...
Into him?
Are just into him. I could see, as a Minotaur, I could see getting into this dude.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, so, I mean, I know that Xenagos is like this ambitious guy and he wants to, I don't know, kill the gods or take over, cause chaos on the planet Theros, so... Yeah, maybe he figures out how to jump in there. And then, I don't know, what does that mean for the set? What kind of cards do you think are going to be in the set?
Things will get crazy.
Or maybe he thinks Mogus would be on his side, so he, like, releases Mogus.
Who's Mogus?
I'm just saying, could be him.
He's Mortimer and Xenagos.
This just looks like a super evil version of Xenagos, though.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Maybe you guys That's are what right. I thought.
You're, yeah, he does kind of look like
But you know
him.
What? I wonder who Mogus is.
Yeah, I know.
He could be a god. There are going to be new gods in...
What?
Are they going to be multicolor or what the what?
I don't think we know that. It would kind of make sense if they were multicolor.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, it'd be a little crazy for like white to have two gods.
I would like there to be a colorless god.
Yes. The god of artifacts.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Someone's going to help me find that old IKEA bowl. Will,
like, the gods we have now have this devotion thing, right?
Yeah.
Do you think the new gods are going to have that? Or are they going to have something different?
If they were multicolored, that would be real hard.
Yeah.
It'd be real difficult.
Maybe they have anti-devotion. So the different kinds of colors of mana symbols you have is the positive.
Or maybe.
Sure.
Maybe they just have cumulative upkeep. So you have to pay tribute to them each turn somehow.
Oh, tribute.
Okay. But not cumulative upkeep, because that's terrible.
Okay.
Do you guys know what cumulative upkeep is?
That's where you have to pay something each turn.
Yeah.
Or you have to sack it.
No. That's an upkeep. Oh. A cumulative upkeep is when you have to pay more each turn.
So not that. Just upkeep. I just meant upkeep.
Okay, yeah.
So like a payday loan.
Yes, cumulative upkeep is like a payday loan.
Solved it.
payday loan, the planeswalker.
Okay, so yeah, my prediction is that there will be a land that can turn target planeswalker into a god enchantment creature. That seems like the only conclusion you can draw from this art.
And target mountain. It's going to be target mountain. There will be a card that says, turn target mountain into god enchantment creature.
It'll be called Launch from the Mountain into Nyx.
It's a horrible, horrible name.
Thank you.
It's like Mount Olympus, right?
Yeah.
So target mountain becomes like Mount Olympus.
Target mountain becomes Mount Olympus. And if a mountain is Mount Olympus, then you can tap it to turn target planeswalker into creature enchantment god.
This is horrible. This is going to be a very complicated set.
I feel like they're going to do something in this next set to take Bestow to the next level.
How do you take it to another level?
How,
Ben?
But this is typically what they'll do. They'll introduce stuff in the first set, and then the second set, it gets crazier. And then they'll introduce new stuff as well. There'll be a new keyword for sure in the new set.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Keyword is going to be cowardice.
Cowardice?
It's the counterpart to heroic.
Yeah.
It's when you target a creature with a spell, it runs away.
Okay. I think it's going to be sheepishness, which is the opposite of monstrosity.
Okay.
Yeah. So you pay extra mana to make a creature smaller.
Yeah, to remove the +1/+1 counters from it.
Yeah.
And then when a creature becomes sheepish, it might have... like a trigger, you know.
Yeah.
Like add 3 mana to your mana pool.
So and wait. I already discussed anti-devotion.
So a sheepish creature comes into play with counters on it, and you pay to remove the counters.
Yeah.
Solid.
Oh yeah. God.
Solid cards.
Hey, when we do the pre-release, does anybody know what kinds of packs we're doing for the pre-release for Born of the Gods?
Oh, that's what I asked earlier.
It'll probably be half and half, although they might...
They'll do some special thing, I'm sure.
I'm sure they'll do a special thing, so it might be some other crazy configuration. Yeah.
So, like, one special pack, and then maybe 2 bog packs and 3 Theros.
Everybody out there, do us a favor and start crawling Born of the Gods bog.
Please, please, everybody, let's make this a thing. You guys, the other day on Magic Online, someone who didn't... like, who hadn't recognized me from the show, good luck high-fived me.
What?
On Modo.
What?
Yeah.
How do you know that they didn't know you from the show?
Well, I don't... either that or they just didn't, like... they haven't heard... they haven't heard my name.
They said, good luck high-five?
Yeah, they typed, good luck high-five.
It's happening!
And I was just like, ah!
You guys have been doing it for every game, and I'm getting a good response.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel really solid about this.
Normally, if people are like, you know, GLHF, I'm just like, good luck, high five. And normally they're kind of like, oh, haha, that's funny. Or they're like, yeah, high five, man.
Yeah, or no response.
I normally get a response.
When I do it, I get no response.
Wait, what?
Your username is not horny_unicorny, though.
Agreed.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I think it opens it up, kind of like makes it a little less serious. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, out there, everybody, let's make this a thing. Good luck. High five.
Yeah. If your relationship is getting too serious,
start high fiving.
If your significant other says, I love you, just respond with, good luck. High five.
Yep. Solid.
Oh, God. Perfect solution. Terminology time with Ben.
Okay, noobs, I've got a quiz for you. I've arranged several segments of words, and one of these words is a magic term, and the other two words are just garbage that I picked out of a used Scrabble game.
Oh,
boy.
Your task is to pick the word that's real, and you'll get a point.
You mean a real magic term?
Which one of these is a real magic slang term? And if you can tell me what it is, you'll get a bone point.
What is a bone point?
It's like a bonus point, but it's just for me.
Gross.
Okay.
First up, rent, mize, or crush. Which one of these is magic slang?
Like I'm going to crush my opponent?
Yeah, I think crush. Like I crushed it.
I'm sorry, the correct answer was mize.
What? What is mize?
This is very old magic slang that doesn't really mean anything.
What? No, you're lying.
No, it means it's shorthand for might as well.
No way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
So use it in a sentence.
I must play this for us.
Whatever.
All right, all right.
Don't you mean that's just how lazy people used to talk? Mice play
this forest.
And, like, I'm going to play this forest because mice.
People would seriously say that.
I guess. This is, like, from before even when I was playing.
Wow. Oh, my God. All right.
It also, I think now sometimes people use it like, oh, I mised this card off the top or something. Or, like, you're a miser if you're kind of like, oh, you just did whatever and then you won.
So mise a card would be like if I just took it off the top and it was just like a total dirtily guy just played it because mise.
Yeah, it's like, nah, I mean, this doesn't really do anything but mise.
That's hilarious. If you guys remember saying that.
Yeah.
Also,
if you know what it really means, let me know.
At MTA Cast. God.
Okay, round two. The score right now is 0-0.
Yes.
Everyone is losing. All right. The words are pitch, hurry, and hurt. Which one of these is magic slang? Pitch, hurry, and hurt.
Okay, I'm going to guess pitch.
I'm going to guess pitch as well.
And what does that mean for a bone point?
Pitch is when you take something out of the graveyard to exile it.
Good, good. And what do you think, Megan?
Pitch is when you, anything that you like, fling at your opponent for extra damage. Like, I pitch this creature at you, extra damage.
Okay. That was both wrong. But pitch is the slang. Pitch is slang for discard.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
I feel like you guys knew that.
Yeah, I did.
Are you guys trying to avoid getting a bone point from me?
Yes. Yes.
All right. The score is 1-1. Good job, ladies. All right. Next up, Sly, Mint, or Twish.
None of those are words except Mint.
The words again are sly, mint, or twish.
Mint is the condition of a good magic card.
Mint.
That is incorrect. The correct slang term is sly.
What does it mean?
Sly is a term for a red deck that is designed to curve out extremely well.
Megan doesn't believe you, so I feel like she's looking it up on her phone.
You may Google this if you Google Mono Red Sly.
S-L-I-G-H.
This was one of the very first decks that really paid attention to curve and was able to use a curve to beat like decks that people thought were better just because they were able to do a whole lot of damage really quickly.
So and this is the first time anybody thought of curve?
Kind of, more or less. I mean, it was the first time people thought about really... How can I build a deck that will use all of my mana every single turn?
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
It was something of a breakthrough.
And you guys say you never learn anything on this show.
I think it was named after the guy that made it or something. I don't know. He's probably retired and floating it like in one of those pools.
What kind of pool?
Like an floating inflatable kiddie pool. But that pool is floating in a bigger pool.
That's when you know you've made it. That's when you know.
All right. Next up, the next three words are slog, burn, and mort.
Well, I know that burn
is
a magic term, meaning direct damage.
Burn spell. Is that
your final answer?
Bitches.
Yeah.
Last chance to change your answer.
Nope, I'm going to keep it.
Burn is correct.
Yes.
And you both get a bone point.
Oh, God.
Weird.
No.
Okay, last round. The score right now is 2-2, and each of you has a bone point.
Oh, no.
This is an all acronym round.
Okay, all good.
Okay.
I'm also going to encourage you to pick different answers so that one of you might win while the other one loses.
Or we could still both lose.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All right, the acronyms are COP, POR, or LOD.
Okay. I'm going to pick LOD.
I'm going to pick COP.
Okay, and what do you think LOD is?
I have to, my brain's going real dirty.
I'm ready. Would you like to wager your bone point?
No, I'm going to keep my bone point.
Smart.
I think it stands for losing on depression. So when you just lose, not because you're playing bad, just because you're real sad.
And Megan, what do you think COP stands for?
Crappy or pretty?
Pappy.
It just says whether or not your deck is made of crappy creatures or cards that have nice art.
So you're like, hey, is your deck, you got, what's going on COP over there? What you had, C or P?
P.
Yeah. I'm at C over here.
Yeah.
Well, one of you was correct. Would either of you like to activate your bone point at this point?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll activate my bone point. What happens?
All right, your bone point is activated. That means you've contracted osteoporosis that can only be cured if you got the right answer. If you lose, you die.
Oh.
The winner is Megan Wolf.
What?
Oh, thank God you're not
going to
die.
I'm not going to die of osteoporosis.
Megan Wolf gets 1 point. However, you do not get a bone point.
What is COP?
It doesn't stand for crappy or pretty?
COP stands for Circle of Protection. There was a cycle of white enchantments in the original Magic set called Circle of Protection, and there was one for each color. And you could spend 1 mana to prevent damage from the next source of that color this turn. So if someone tried to like hit you with a red spell or attack you with a creature, you could pay 1 mana to your Circle of Protection red and prevent that.
Weird.
That's bizarre.
That is super weird.
It was super normal back then.
Old Magic is so weird, you guys.
So congratulations, Megan.
Thank you.
You win.
Yeah.
All right. Now I just have to permanently mark that bone point on each one of your backs.
Nope.
I wagered. I got rid of mine, remember? I cashed it in.
You activated yours.
Damn it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to MTV's The Eighth Card. Tonight on The Eighth Card, we have our special guest, Megan, who's on a date with 2 different Magic the Gathering cards. At the end of the night, she'll have to choose one to take home and one to discard. All right, first, let's meet Megan. Hi, Megan. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, guys. I like books and walking.
Thanks for coming on the show, Megan. We've got a question tweeted to you from a fan. The tweet says, hey, Megan, you party?
I party sometimes, but I usually party early.
Ha ha ha, I bet you do. All right, Megan, let's meet your first potential date.
Okay.
Your date is Triton Tactics.
Oh, nice. They're twins.
If you're the kind of person that likes to get a little ass at a moment's notice, then Triton Tactics might be the person for you.
I get it.
Let's meet Triton Tactics.
Hi, I'm Triton Tactics. I'm cheap. When I see your exes, I lock them into jail.
Oh, yeah, you've got a nice behind.
Cool, nice Triton to meet Tactics. You, Triton Tactics. Now, let's meet the other person Megan's on a date with. Nemesis of Mortals.
I am already
I am already excited.
If you pay me lots of money, I get real big.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm not as excited now.
There's a fatty with something to prove. All right, we're going to go to commercial right now. When we get back, they're going to come back from the bowling alley and let us know how things went. Hint, things are going to get sexy. Welcome back to the eighth card. All right, Megan, first of all, what did you think about bowling?
Bowling's fine. I like it.
We didn't warn you that the staff would be wearing lingerie.
That was awkward. Honestly, it was really awkward. A whole bowling alley full of lingerie-clad employees is an awkward sight.
All right, Megan, what did you learn about Triton Tactics?
I really learned that Triton Tactics is so eager to be there for people and to help out where it's needed. Triton Tactics was so great. He never added on to my score for me, but sometimes he would score less so that I didn't feel bad about how bad I was at bowling.
And he had quite the nice spear, didn't he?
It was an actual spear, and yes.
All right, Triton Tactics, how do you think the date went?
Really good. I wrote Megan a love note. You can read it right on my face. It's super long and confusing.
Oh, my God. Don't be such a pussy. So, Megan, what did you think of Nemesis Immortals?
You remember how earlier Nemesis Immortals was like, if you pay me a lot of money, I'll get really big.
Yeah, I bet that was fun.
It turns out I didn't have to pay him any money to get really big. He just ate everyone in the bowling alley. And when they were all dead, he got huge.
Oh, my God. I guess you're either really into that or you're not.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it goes.
All right, Nemesis Immortals, how did you think the date went?
Great. I got to murder a bunch of people, and I have a huge boner.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying. Okay, Megan, it's time for you to make your choice. One of these cards is going to resolve, and the other one's going to end up in the bin.
Let's be clear, I'm not saying which of these cards I would pick. I'm talking about which of these cards I would lick.
You are going to have to go home and have sex with them. It's written in the agreement.
We're taping it.
No.
All right, Megan.
I will go on another date with Triton Tactics.
Oh, Triton Tactics, how does this make you feel?
My butt grew 3 sizes today.
Thanks, everybody, for watching The Eighth Card. Come back next week when our guest Maria will have to choose between Wave Crash Titan and the Opaline Unicorn.
That's been our episode.
Episode. Blah. That has been our episode.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Episode.
Oh, God.
Thank you for listening. If you want to find out more about us, you can go around on the internet and look for stuff.
That's very true. A good place to start would be magicallyamateuring.com.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do too much Google searching. Mm-hmm. You can also find us hanging out on themeatery.org.
Yep.
Ben, you want to take us out with a rap?
Sure.
Ben is now going to freestyle rap on a random card Megan just handed to him.
My name is Staunch-Hearted Warrior. When I come down, things are getting worrier. When you target me with some shit, I'm gonna put all kinds of counters on it. I start out as just a 2-2, but sooner than you know, I'm gonna do some serious damage to your opponent. Use an instant and it lasts forever.
Hey man, I'm a Horizon Scholar, and sometimes when I attack, then I'm
Oh yeah, step to this.